it will go from there. So, and we don't have a quorum. We will decide how to move forward today, get all of our business needs met.
You have the phones ready to go? Okay. I don't think this one's got much charge left either. Nope, this one's almost out. Just turn it on.
Sorry about that. Good technology here. So, we started recording then?
Yes.
For the record, I'm Rocky Houston. I'm with Public Works. I'm going to start this meeting today. We're going to do a call to order. James, I see he's here.
I'm here.
Felix, I think he is not here today. Don?
Present, mind and body.
Teresa?
I'm here.
All right. Kale? Ostaki? And Nicole?
Here.
And Delaney? All right. So we do not have a quorum, so we will need to, we won't be able to approve the minutes or have any actionable items today. And since our last meeting, we had some resignations, including our chair and our secretary. And today I got notice that Felix is resigning. He's moving to Texas for his work. So we do have an open recruitment. So I believe our bylaws allow me to have Jim run the meeting today.
Okay.
And then once we have a quorum, we can look at the officer's appointment, that process, and whether or not we want to wait until we have a full team again. So for those of you out there on Teams, before I turn it over to Jim, we have turned the volume off of everybody. When we do go into public comments, we will turn you on one by one. You can raise your hand by pushing some cool little button on there, or raise your hand feature if you're online, or what's the code on if you're on a cell phone? Is it star 8 maybe? Anyways, we'll ask everyone that's online if they want to comment just to double check and make sure. See, so I'm not proficient in Teams. So, with that, Jim, do you want to take over the public comment period?
Can't hear him.
All right, I'll take over.
Sorry, that was muted.
Is this the public comment time?
It will be just a second.
Okay.
Rocky, I'm assuming that public comments will be on the record so we can look at them next go around?
Yes, we are recording this, so you will be able to view the recording of this online, and we will summarize the comments in the minutes.
Okay. So I guess with that, we'll open it to public comment. And who do we have on the line for public comment?
Terry Allen.
Okay.
You ready to go?
Sure.
All right. Just a brief comment for the Disabled Veteran County Park No Charge Parking. I think that displaying a state parks pass is an excellent idea. There'll be no financial burden or administrative costs on the county. as probably the most cost-effective and beneficial to disabled veterans. I'd just like to state that I'm very much in favor of it.
Okay. We appreciate that.
I'd like to cede my time to Dr. Allen, please.
Melata Allen, and both Terry and I had helped to establish the Clark County Veterans Assistance Center back in 2011. And the question came up even then, when some of the parks were charging for parking, but not all of them. So then when they started adding them to the Klein Line and other places, because I am a Philida Neighborhood Association president, and also I was involved with many other volunteer opportunities to serve the community, I have heard many comments from veterans that they cannot walk across the parking lot and or that it's very much too expensive for them to do that. So back then, I had proposed that they would do something to the effect that what you're proposing now or what the recommendation is now for you to look at this fee exemption ordinance for the disabled veterans. It's the right thing to do, and now is the right time to do it, especially after COVID. And we hope that you're going to support the adoption of a parking fee exemption to the counselors. And are you going to be taking comments today on the action items that you're proposing for GCPD undeveloped property prioritization? I am trying to struggle with this computer today, and it won't let me sign in. So that's why we're doing it via a crappy little phone.
Okay.
But are you going to be taking the new business 6E comments today or no?
I think not. Rocky, help me out here. Since we can't, we don't have a quorum.
Yes or no?
I think no. Rocky?
There is no action item for that today. It's informational. You can provide comments for sure, but
yes,
there's no action.
Okay. So, Dr. Allen, if you'd like to.
Yes. I was looking at some of the items that you have for priority right now. And the Cougar Creek Park itself, as well as the Cougar Creek Trailway, have been on the general plan, parks plan, and through several different ordinances and through several different efforts in the past that the Philida Neighborhood Association Board was very much involved with from the beginning, because we wrote letters of support and we were very much the ones that had preserved that park area for future generations from 2 to 92 to enjoy. And, of course, the Cougar Creek Trailway itself had an allocation of $1,060,000 back in 2008 and $1,012,000 in 2010. And I'm getting an echo on my phone. I'm sorry. I hope that you don't hear the echo on your end. So that's $2 million that was allocated to the Cougar Creek Trailway itself. And that also included the acquisition of potentially expanding the trailway. But also when the Cougar Creek Park was going through process, we had written the letters of support for grants. And one of the reasons why we did get the RCO grant and plus Clark Conservation grant was because the Cougar Creek Park itself that we saved was going to serve as a trailhead for that trailway. And, of course, our partners and the Philida NA Board had paid a lot of money for the approvals for vetting the project and for getting it on the park's plans. So we are vested, as you say. If you were a contractor, we are vested. So I hope that you are not, it was supposed to have been built this year. I understand COVID and everything else. However, when I heard that it's going to be at least another 6 years before you get to it, I'm sorry. That is very much a very lengthy process that have been approved by at least 6 different parks directors, and also the PRAC and PAB and commissioners and city/Clark County parks. So this needs to be done sooner rather than later. Well, you can still use our volunteer hours and our investment into contractors and public outreach as in-kind donations for your grants.
Appreciate that.
Thank you.
We have Mr. Castle here at Luke Denson as well.
Will you hear me? I'll try to be brief, or just uncharacteristically. Looking at your agenda items, I'll also speak towards the veterans exemption, being a founding member and board member of the American Warrior Project. We're at a local nonprofit that teaches actually veterans to shoot belly archer, and I'm directly linked with a lot of veterans organizations, including that Clark County Veterans Assistance and other ones through support of my personal charity. I think that'd be a great idea. I'm sure that the advisory board will follow through with that smart thing to approve. So I'd like to put my 2 cents in saying that I would support that. And anybody I'm associated with as well, that exemption for veterans. Another thing on the agenda here, the GCPD, referencing undeveloped property and/or parks. So I am the president of the Willow Creek Restoration Committee. Through the Parks Foundation of Clark County, we've spent, really myself and my group has spent over a decade, 12 years, easily spurred 15,000 volunteer hours in undeveloped Willow Creek. There's developed to the point of 1.4 acres, just a parking area, but it's grown incredibly and has a lot of usage. It does have park numbers. We have counted them. 45,000 visits in 2016, 54,000 visits in 2017, 76,000 visits in 2018, and then all of the last consecutive years we spurred over 100,000 visits to the park. And I'm a little concerned, if you do look at the PROS plan and the PROS survey, Whipple Creek Regional Park was very, very high in that survey. And you'll notice how high it was. It was top 3, top 4, top 5 of parks in the entire county. I believe whatever we have 73 parks or somewhere in thereabouts in the county thing. So it was very high as an undeveloped park. I'd love to see it hopefully get some attention and be on the radar. I just want to mention it so it's on the radar of the advisory board because it's getting built up around it like crazy. And it is a very, very unusual gem as far as regional parks go in the county. And then I'm going to segue to another organization, the Clark County Executive Horse Council. I'm vice president of that. Equestrian enthusiasts in the parks PROS plan came out to the percentage of 12 to 14% say, hey, when they were asked, do you want to bike, do you want to hike, do you want to walk dogs? 12 to 14% were interested in riding horses at parks. And there is a bit of lack of equity in access to equestrians. If we look at equestrian access in Clark County parks currently, and the numbers of places where they can ride, and really the places that are viable. Currently, there are only 5 parks on the list where horses are accepted. We just lost Daybreak. Prior to COVID, there were a lot of Daybreak people coming here talking about Daybreak. That's before many of your times. I know Kevin was here. You heard a lot of that. That Daybreak just didn't fit in on the equestrian side. Hopefully we can revisit that because it was going to be a key connector for the Lewis and Clark Trail, potentially. But Whipple Creek is one of the only places where equestrians can ride, and I'd love to try to, in the future, embrace that. The other places are the Santa Creek Trail, parking at Flying Line, walking, riding on that little asphalt sidewalk along the Santa Creek. That's considered an equestrian park, or place. Not very viable. Between Frenchman's and Vancouver Lake, that's one of the five. You cannot, horses cannot park in the Vancouver Lake parking, nor the Frenchman's parking. They're allowed to park where the boats do. So that's another one, not the best equestrian location. Then we have Handley up at Rock Creek, which is kind of seasonal. And then finally, Captain Straw down in Washington, in seasonal. Whipple's probably the only one where they can ride all. So one, you know, even five parks out of 73 doesn't quite meet that percentage. And I represent a lot of equestrian people and equestrian enthusiasts, and they're a big, big money, big part of the county. And so I want to be sure that as a state that we're paying attention, you guys are potentially paying attention to that statement. Finally, Camp Bonneville. What an amazing spot. Why there is no equestrian access to Camp Bonneville, I don't know. Backcountry Horses of Washington, Washington Trail Riders Association, I spoke with them. They're inquisitive about it as well. It seems like an amazing spot. I know that potentially the next spot may be Green Mountain, but that's far down the road. There are things that need to happen with that in conjunction with Camas. But Camp Bonneville, gotta, let's please look at getting equestrian access some way, shape, or form to Camp Bonneville. And equestrians are one of the largest volunteer groups. You'll never find a volunteer group more engaged than them, because they also are 365 day a year enthusiasts. No other enthusiast is 365. Cyclists can park their bike. You can't do that with an equestrian. And they have the hours to prove it. So I'd love to try to get future agenda items speaking to that. Finally, in closing, in June of 2019, this board and previous parks, person Bill Berkey and the board all agreed to try to let Whipple Creek Restoration Committee repair the historic A. Walter Hillhorn Mill Building at Whipple Creek Regional Park. It was decided that, you know, we would do it with the engineering that we had and the plans that we had, and we would use only private funds. We used our funds that we fundraised through the Parks Foundation, held at Park Foundation in Clark County. Because of COVID, we got about 90% of the way there. We've got maybe 10% left of that restoration to repair the building. I'd love to try to get an agenda item on that. I need, obviously, to work with Rocky Houston and Parks Department and run everything through them. Give them all the paperwork and engineering, and you can look and try to see what's been decided in the past. I'd love to just finish putting the shingles on the roof and sealing up the windows and doors more than just plywood, and stop with that, because that was what we originally agreed in June of 2019. So just getting that on an agenda so I can potentially move forward and finish that project for the community would be great. Thank you very much. I will work with Rocky and PAD to get this information, whatever information you guys need, so we can move forward. Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we have any other members of the public online?
Yes. Hi. This is Jane Tessner Kleiner. If I can have a minute to introduce myself.
Yes, please.
Great. Thank you. It's great to see you all. My name is Jane Tessner Kleiner. I'm the program manager for the Lower Columbia Nature Network, and we're a regional coalition of stakeholders, partners, and agencies connecting our community to nature. We have a 5-year funding commitment from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service Ridgefield Complex, and we're in just wrapping up year one of a year 5 funding commitment. Some of you may have heard of the Clark County Nature Network. That's what we used to call ourselves, but we've now, with this funding support from the Fish and Wildlife Service, we've rebranded ourselves. We have a new website, the Lower Columbia Nature Network. I've submitted some comments via email to the PAB. I'm very familiar with parks. I used to work with parks many, many moons ago, and I'm happy to hear Mulata is still a huge advocate for parks up in Phillida. That's fantastic. So I just want to introduce ourselves and the work that we're doing to try to connect resources and partners and stakeholders across our community for not only the regional park systems and nature connections, but also nearby nature. And I've been working with Nicole at Vancouver Schools and Sue Steinbrenner at Evergreen Schools and other school districts to try to create nature nearby for kids to introduce them to nature. So we're starting the process of raising awareness about the benefits of connecting to nature for our health and well-being, which I think we've all learned through COVID. We also want to expand the opportunities and increase awareness of where to go and what to do for families and kids, including our BIPOC community, our underserved community members. And that is going to take our regional coalition to pull all that information together of where to go and what to do. So we are working with our partners. If you go to our website, lowercolumbianaturenetwork.org, you can see our list of partners that includes the Water Resources Education Center, Columbia Springs, CPU, a whole lot of folks, the library system. So we're just wanting to introduce ourselves. We look forward to working with your team in the future. We have been working with the volunteer position as well as the clean water program in Clark County Public Works in the past and making sure that we provide stewardship opportunities and watershed education opportunities as well. So just want to introduce our program to you, and we look forward to future conversations. If you have any questions, my contact information is in the email that I sent, and I really appreciate your time today. Thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anyone else that of the public that wants to speak? Mr. Pupley?
Hi, my name is Lokesh Pupley, and I'm one of the doctors here in the Legacy, and I have been proposing the idea of having a cricket field in Clark County. You know, there has been, some interest building up in Camas as well as in Phillida area. You know, the kids want to play cricket, and we have to take our kids to Beaverton or sometime even to Salem for them to practice. And I have suggested over the last year or so to Eric and other BARC committee members about the various options we can entertain to make cricket ground or at least a net in this area. So if you have received my email, I can go over the presentation during this time, or I can set up a meeting with you all to propose how we can explore the idea of having a cricket ground or at least cricket nets. So that's where I'm coming from right now.
Good. Quick question. How big a pitch do you need?
So we need usually the pitch is 100 feet long, and it is either a paved road 12 feet wide or a cemented, or you could just say cemented road. Mm-hmm. And we don't put any expensive mats on it. We usually put cheap mats, which are available on Home Depot, because these mats doesn't need any recoil. It needs to be the hard mat. Mm-hmm. And usually last 2 to 3 years for us. We maintain, grounds in Gresham, Salem, and Banks, Oregon, where we do replace our mats because those are privately held properties.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes.
And keep an eye on the minutes here as we get for all of you, as we staff back up, we'll try and address your issues as we go along.
Thank you very much, sir.
You're welcome. Anyone else? Oops, somebody got a hand up here. No, that was you. All right. I guess Rocky, your turn for manager's updates, your department updates.
Sure. Thank you, sir. Where to begin? So we have three projects under construction right now, under being turned. So Phillida is the one that's farthest along. We started that a few weeks ago. For the audience and everyone, that is a new overflow parking lot to add additional parking there. And a new accessible playground, so the shape of a heart. So we've had to remove some trees that were around the playground. The planting plan
and the condition of those trees were such that it was a better decision long term to remove those trees. So we've done that. We're looking for some mature nursery stock to replace those existing trees with. We're currently scheduled to have that completed around the end of July. And then we are going to have a ribbon cutting in the first or second week of August, probably around 4 o'clock. So once we have that confirmed, I'll make sure that the PAB gets notice of that ribbon cutting. The next project that we have broke ground on is Hawkinson Meadows. It's the disc golf course. So that's a 18-hole disc golf course and a just under a mile loop trail around that parcel and a pedestrian bridge and some other amenities. That's currently planned to be constructed by the end of September. And we are looking to have schedule a ribbon cutting out there for that project. And then the last project we have is Cozy Camp. Cozy Camp is a new neighborhood park that will be off of 29th and 175th, kind of northwest of WSU's Vancouver campus. That's on a 5-acre parcel that will have our standard fare for a neighborhood park. So it'll be a small little loop trail, some playground equipment. We are looking to add some lines around the basketball court to incorporate pickleball court out there as well. So that would be multi-purpose of that facility. We've received a lot of interest in pickleball courts recently. And that should be completed late September, early October as well. That project right now, we're not looking at doing a ribbon cutting on, just given staffing levels and COVID and those things. We're trying to focus on those other two projects right now for ribbon cuttings. The Neighborhood Association for Philida, I should mention, is also working with us to bolster that ribbon cutting event, and so they have some additional things they'd like to do as part of that, so we're working with them on that. We are in budget season, so we're starting to put together our capital budget, that preliminary elements, the base line budget, and change requests. So we're working. This process starts internally within our department. In the next couple months, we'll formalize a sort of a county level budget, and then it'll end in a hearing in November. So we've got many months ahead of us, but it starts early. Part of that project or our budget is trying to meet our level of service. So we have some change requests, so program option packages, they call them other places, where we're looking at some staffing levels, some new equipment, trying to make sure that we're able to meet our capital program delivery needs, staffing, and the simple things like a big old plotter so we can print out our plans and have them the right size. I have them on 8.5 by 11, or I can run down the street and have someone print for us. So we'll find out more as we go through that to do those things. And what other great things do we have? There's so many out there. And now that I'm here, I can't think of them. But we are almost, knock on wood, full staff. I think we have two openings throughout our whole division. We just promoted from within in chemist group and with the last department with the weed management. So with Danielle's promotion to the lands coordinator, we promoted Dan Ebert. I always call him some of the J, but Dan Ebert to replace Danielle as the lead worker. He's been with us for 12 years?
10 years?
10 years, and so we went through a robust process for that, so we'll have to replace his position. And here at Luke Jensen, if you were here in the floor room, we had a worker position that opened up, and we're
looking to get that refilled. So hopefully before the end of the summer, we'll have those positions filled on our, they're not within the division anymore, but they support the division with our recreation program and community engagement. Joanne Berg had retired in March, I think it was, April. It changed a couple weeks, but we've replaced her with Tracy Trump, so she's been with the county for a couple decades and will be a great asset to help in our team and make sure that our reservations are made, parking passes are completed, etc. Project-wise, there's a question that I have pondering for you is that with Curtin Creek, we're at 30% design, and we're running about $2.5-3 million over budget from the engineering budget proposal. To help offset that, we've identified and we are in the process of getting two grants from RCO and totaling about $850,000, which will offset some of the sport field costs and playground costs, as well as access for some viewing of wetlands, trails. But with a $2.5 million budget cost reduction and trying to find those additional funds, we're in the process of value engineering and looking at phasing of the project versus funding it completely and thereby limiting our capacity to meet future recreational needs in that 5th district. So that means $2.5 million is 1.5 to 2 neighborhood parks that we would not be able to do. The draconian method would be to eliminate one of the sports fields. So you guys may not know, but the master plan identified a robust parking lot, 2 sports fields, 1 focused on rugby that was going to be natural grass, and then a multi-purpose turf or artificial turf field that would be for soccer and baseball. There would be some sport courts for tennis or pickleball and basketball, as well as 2 shelters, and then a large loop trail. The property is about 16 acres, and then it is connected to Gaddis Wetlands, which is along the Curtin Creek drainage.
Yeah.
Too many sea creeks around here. Cougar Creek, Curtin Creek, California Creek. Oh, wait, that's Oregon. If we were to, one way to balance the budget would be to phase the fields. And so we could have a single field installed that would be turf, artificial turf, that would meet rugby and soccer needs. And then in the future, when funding is more robust, be able to build another field out. So I'm requesting of you any thoughts or input as we try to value engineer and make a tough decision in regards to how to thread the needle for community recreational needs.
So, Rocky, the original budget on that was somewhere in $6.5 million.
Yep, 6.5.
And I thought the last time I looked, it had bumped up to about 7 or something that was already funded.
So with the grant,
it came out of the PIF fund, I think.
So it's predominantly about $4 million of that 6.55 is from PIF funding. The rest is REIT 2 funding.
Right.
And so we're about $7.35 million with the grant funding. Now we've already spent about, or we will have spent about a little over a million in PS&E funds. So that brings it down to about $6.3 million towards construction.
Okay. Let me look and see what my guys can do. I've had some offers of in-kind or even monetary help with funding that park. So let me see what anybody's actually really got.
Copy that. Well, yeah, just circle around with me and we can schedule a meeting.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Well, we'll continue to work on this and at the 60% design, regardless of where we're at and where whether we can find additional funds or what, we will communicate to the public kind of where we're at and what our approach is going to be. So we'll follow up with you prior to that, but that's our next public engagement point.
Okay. So you're 30% now? Is that what you said? Okay.
And 60% September-ish? I think it's around September is probably where we would be finalizing.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes. Let's see.
Is there any unfinished business that I'm not aware of?
No, you know, and today when you bring that up is that because we don't have a quorum here, I believe right. We only have three voting members and we need four. What I'd like to do is talk about the new business stuff and get some feedback, knowing that we won't be able to make a action any of those items.
Okay, thank you.
And that concludes my update.
Okay. So fire when ready and new business. The number A seems to be pretty important.
Here we go. Let me get my computer out of its lock mode. We have a dual locking scenario here, so every 37 seconds it seems like I have to enter four codes and tap my head. All right. The first agenda item is PAB vacancies. So I don't think we have a brief on this, but just so you guys know, we do have, we only had one applicant on our previous recruitment for the one opening. Since that time, we've had three additional resignations for personal reasons. So we have four openings. We have and should be out now a recruitment for those four positions. We're still trying to identify some North County and or rural candidates to broaden our geographic presence on the Parks Advisory Board, as well as having an inclusive and diverse board. So we're our recruitment is focused on those elements. So anyone online or in the room, if you have anyone you want to nominate, talk to them. They can submit a letter of intent through our process on the website. If they need further guidance, they can email myself or to our general email box, and we'll get them connected to the right form or the right person. So right now, it would probably be 7 September before we have worst case scenario to have those positions filled if we get applicants submitted. So as such, we may not be able to do much business over the summer, but we'll still continue to engage. And Mr. Meeks.
Hey, thanks, Rocky. Hey, team. Hey, have we considered in the past, or is it available to consider incentivizing one of these positions with, say, a fuel stipend or something? I don't know. Just throwing it out there.
Good question. I'd have to double check with the program and the charter. I think it's a, I don't know. I know in where I was at before, some of our boards we would have per diem and MIA's reimbursements for advisory boards. Let me check on that.
Yep. Good question.
Well, the next item is the Chalachi Prairie Railroad Trust Land Transfer, and I have in the audience here Kevin and Danielle to present this item. It is an action item, but we will be tabling that action. So with that.
Good afternoon. Are you able to hear me okay?
Yep.
Hi. Amy, if you wouldn't mind, can you bring up the project brief? Oh,
Yes. One second, I'll call this.
Well, while we're doing that, you all should have access to it. I guess it was emailed to you. It was in the agenda packet. So what we have here is Department of Natural Resources has a program where they evaluate trust land transfers. So Donald's probably familiar with trust lands and DNR's responsibility of managing those for the state of Washington. One of those trusts is for a common school, so money goes into the building of schools in the state of Washington. And the other one is the state forest trust, which then comes back to local jurisdictions. So the state has in the past issued kind of like a request for proposals, asking for projects where counties might look at properties that would be a good asset to add to.
You just passed it.
There. Is that share?
Yeah.
Okay. There we go.
Nice work, Rob.
So the county put forward a project back in 2019 to request a property. Let me follow the mouse for a second. To request a property out along the Chalachie Prairie Railroad. North of Battleground, near Battleground Lake State Park, and I'm just going to zoom to a map that kind of shows it. So if you're familiar with the Tukes Work Center, that's owned by DNR, east of Battleground, Tukes Mountain area, a little bit to the north and east of that is a property here shown in with a yellow hashtag or a yellow hashing across it, bisected by the railroad. The idea at the time was that this property meets several criteria of the Conservation Futures, or what we call the Natural Areas Acquisition Plan, so it would fit the legacy lands portfolio. It has access to the railroad. The current segment of the Chalachie Rail with Trail project, the first section of trail that was constructed by the county, terminates at the project, at the property, and so would be a good location for a trailhead potentially. So it checks several boxes. At the time, DNR decided that they weren't interested in pursuing trust land transfers, and the legislature actually asked them to overhaul the program. And so that's what they worked on. And more recently, they reached out to us and said, we've overhauled the program. We want to, we have a new way of doing trust land transfers, and we want to include this project, Chalachie, as we call it Chalachie just because it's along the railroad. It's not anywhere near Chalachie Prairie, but the state wants to evaluate this as part of their trust land transfer program using the new process. So they've asked us to essentially commit to the project again. So we have run this up through county leadership and feel that it would be a good, still would meet many of the criteria in the Natural Areas Acquisition Plan. And so therefore, the next step in the process would be to have Parks Advisory Board evaluate it and make a recommendation to council. And so that's why it was marked as an action item for today. We can touch base on an action item next time at the forum. And so really today it's a presentation just to pitch the idea to Parks Advisory Board. I'll zoom to another map of the property. We've been out to evaluate it. Again, it meets several of the criteria for Natural Areas Acquisition Plan. It's 80 acres in size, headwaters of Weaver or Wooden Creek occur in this location. It's near the Battleground Urban Growth Boundary, so it would essentially protect open space as Battleground continues to grow, and it's identified, it falls within high-value conservation area in the Natural Areas Acquisition. that is my presentation today, and would be open to any discussion on the topic.
And I would add, if there is agreement amongst the existing members of the Parks Advisory Board, and our timeline is such where we need to move forward before we have a quorum, I'd like to move it forward to not lose the opportunity for this acquisition.
Yes. Kevin, quick question. This is roughly, it costs $25,000 is the price tag on this?
Yeah, so I should have probably explained the trust land transfer program a little bit more. So the state evaluates trust land transfers in an effort to essentially lock up property that's more it's more easily managed, more efficiently managed by the state. And so when they identify a property that's transferred, it's essentially transferred at no cost to the county. So we put in $25,000 as the administrative cost for the county. It's a best guess at this point to get through the process, staff time, things of that nature. Maybe we need to do a survey, you know, things of that nature.
Gotcha.
And then maintenance costs, because there would be maintenance costs. We'll have to hone that expense further, but it's just a placeholder at this point.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Any other questions?
I don't have any questions, but I am personally in support of this. I think, like you say, it does tick a lot of boxes, and it will be a good placeholder out there, I think, just for natural areas.
The only question I would have is, who would manage the natural area in the future, and is there a plan for that? I mean, natural areas don't really take care of themselves anymore like they used to, so there would have to be some type of management plan, and I would just be curious what that is. And it doesn't have to be War and Peace, but not on post-it notes either, somewhere in between, right?
Yeah, that's a good question. So the natural areas would fall into the Legacy Lands Program in Clark County, which is under the umbrella of the Parks and Lands Division. So it would be Rocky and I and our team managing the property. And we're building a natural areas team. We have, you know, a vegetation management team. And so the combination of the two would be, at least until it becomes something that we maybe possibly develop further, but likely, or if Battleground expands enough to, you know, potentially transfer it to the city of Battleground. So in the meantime, it will be natural areas by our team.
Yeah. What we don't want to see is that it becomes a new RV park and, you know, a deposit for burned vehicles, et cetera, because nobody ever goes out there to check it, right? And we have a lot of areas in the county that fall into that category, unfortunately. But not beating you up, I'm just curious of what would be the future plan that if we were to obtain it and have it preserved, now how would we manage that? But you've answered my question. I appreciate it.
Well,
so would you be in support if we were to vote today?
Yeah, sorry if I wasn't clear on that. Of course, I would support it. I think it's anytime we can put lands aside, I think it's a really good deal.
I would support it also.
Thank you. I want to be able to communicate to the counselors if we do have to take action that we did have support. Even if we had a quorum, we'd have three positive votes, which still falls short of one. But we're just nevertheless. All right.
Thank you.
The next item, and if Jessica, if you could switch it back over to the sharing the screen to and go back to the packet and move forward to page 19. And share. All right, maybe we'll have the PAB meeting then, I guess. I guess we can stop. One more over. Scroll down to 19.
three more pages. All right, so this, we have the Dogwood Neighborhood Park HOA donation proposal. So the Fountain Village HOA is a small HOA that's to the west of Dogwood Neighborhood Park. Let's scroll to the next page, please, and then click the rotation button once or twice. Sorry, we got
next to the plus minus.
Yeah, next to plus minus. Perfect. All right. So, north at the top of your page there. So, Dogwood Park is a 5 acre neighborhood park that is getting a lot of development near it, as you see already. But there's where it says 0.88 acre parcel, there's 149 unit plan development that's just getting underway there. To the southeast corner where you see that one little house and a bunch of plot lines, really light gray, there's a very large neighborhood going in there that goes east for like a whole block. It's another large. So anyways, this neighborhood has three homes that are border those houses to the south of the blue line parcel that are adjacent to this. All the rest of the neighborhood association is to the southwest. That's a apartment building where it says District 6. So they, as part of their development, I believe they predated our park, they were required to have some open screen space, and that includes this 0.88 acre parcel here, and then they have some other parcels to the west. They have developed it with some street trees, irrigation, that's mainly just sod. There's a little bit of planting on it, and then there is that sidewalk that connects you through it to connect to ours. We have to the east of that parcel, there is a sidewalk access that brings you up into our park. They came to all of us about 2 years ago, to the Parks Advisory Board of the park, the county, to see if we would accept a donation. At that time, we pressed the pause button due to COVID, and they have come back again, seeing if we would be willing to accept it. So currently within this district, District 6, we're at 24.9% of our level of service for neighborhood parks, which means that instead of having 6 acres, actually it'd be 2 acres for neighborhood parks. We're getting an F. And this current 26.3 acre deficit on neighborhood park acquisitions and a 38.7 acre deficit on developed, this would assist that and move us a step closer. Most of the neighbors allegedly view this as kind of being part of the park already. The only negative things that I've heard is that it's a communal dog littering site. So a lot of dogs get walked over there and they don't pick up after themselves. And that's it. So I think we've talked to our operation and maintenance team. I think initially there were some concerns back 2 years ago that we have enough mowing already. So we were concerned we wouldn't have the capacity. They don't make much more land, and it is very hard in District 6 to acquire land. So this would help us meet those recreational demands, especially with the additional. Our short-term plan would be most likely not to irrigate it, and maybe to plant some evergreen trees there to minimize some of that and work long-term to phase in any inclusion. We'd probably take down the fence that's on our western border to make that more inclusive into our property, but that would be future stuff. Again, we don't have a forum today, but the proposal was to seek your recommendation whether we should pursue investigation of this donation or not. Flip it back to and stop the sharing of the screen. Oh, perfect. Did you guys see all that map? Okay, good.
I saw it earlier, but I didn't see it now.
Oh, well, we didn't push the right button, so I apologize.
It's fine.
But it was really pretty. The colors pop on the screen. Any comments on this proposed donation?
Rocky, am I to understand the only reason we wouldn't accept it is because we don't have the capacity to maintain and build it out?
Yes.
So accepting it would cost us money, right, to build the capacity. And is that something that we could potentially budget without slashing something else?
Yes, we are. In our proposal for this next budget year, we're trying to add 3 project staff to meet our level of service, so our staffing need. And we're trying to also add an additional 4 FTE for our trails and open space crew, our natural areas crew, to again, to kind of meet that level of service. So if council is supportive of those changes, we would have an additional 7 FTE to help offset our level of service, our FTE level. In addition, I think by us not irrigating that section, the mowing maintenance on that would be just a couple mows a year versus a weekly mowing if it was remained irrigated. And by potentially planting some trees, we reduce that mowing area even more. So we're looking to reduce that operational impact.
Thumbs up for me. Now, I'll make it clear this time.
Thank you, sir.
Also, for me, you're looking to, I mean, you're asking us to support your pursuing, looking at this further to make sure it'll work.
Yes.
Okay.
And I support it also.
Me too.
Perfect. We'll reengage and see what our real property people and others request us to do. Next agenda item is the Harmony Sports Complex site plan. This was an action item as well. I don't know if you guys have seen this, and actually you're all new, so you probably did not, but this has been a project that we've been working on for several years. Harmony Sports Complex is a leased site to Harmony Sports Association out off 192nd and 18th to 11th-ish. It seems like over right on the border of Camas. Sort of the northeast of the Camas Costco out there, I believe, is kind of where it's at. Anyways, we've got a grant, a project to improve the parking lot and to increase access. And we'll see if we can share the screen again. Can I hit the desktop window? I'll hit share now and over there, and then we'll be sideways, but that's fine. Keep going, 2 more pages. No, you're fine. All right. So 18th Street's on the right side of the page here, the north 192nd is in the bottom of the image there. In front of you is a site plan identifying 5, I guess they have 4 phases here, sorry, 4 phases. So as you can see on site, there's a plethora of grass fields, baseball fields, and then 3 turf fields out there. This site plan for phase 1 is what we're looking to fund through our project. Sorry, we're getting hit with tennis balls right now.
Softball.
That would be, I'm going to walk around because I have to drive with the cursor to help. Sorry, man. That hurt. So this red box is the project that we're going to be developing and hopefully going to construction in early 2022. So this is the existing entrance in. And it tees in to 192nd. This is 13th Street here. And what we're looking to do is add a new main entrance here that will be part of the light system here. This project had, the city had planned to have 13th go all the way through this project, and that was part of our delay in this project is because we, our partners did not feel that that was appropriate. And so we worked with the city to have that change. So there's going to be a new entrance and exit here. This will be a southbound only exit and an entrance from the north only, but allow us two egress and or entrance spots. This parking lot is now gravel. And actually there's a lot of trees in this area, but this will become a paved parking lot, modern parking lot that'll be here. This will be a future phase over here, phase two. If we have additional revenue, our bids come in super low, unlikely, we will expand the parking lot here. They're going to be going after a grant to put in another turf field here. This is some pickleball courts here they have, and we required that this be a playground, a little small neighborhood park element to help again meet the need. This is in the city limits of Vancouver. But this parcel is owned by Clark County Roads. It was intended back in the long time ago to be a pit, a quarry for the roads, but it was never developed. And we have a long-term lease for these sports fields out here. And so that's why we're engaged, even though it's in the city limits. And so what the HSA would like is recognition. They have to come to us for the lease and get approval of any of these future projects, and we coordinate to make sure they're in compliance. But for them to fundraise, they want to make sure that the Parks Advisory Board and Council is aware of and support this site plan. They've got the word master plan in here, and that's a misnomer. I think that was just a McKay-Sposito word. It's really a site, a redevelopment plan versus a master plan. So, is there any questions on this site plan? And I will work to change this back. Let me stop sharing. Go ahead, Don.
Hey, thanks, Rocky. Just some quick questions. I'm really familiar with that intersection that you mentioned, the 192nd and 13th Street. That's where the new entrance is going to be. Is that what I follow?
Yes.
If we're building parking spots, they will come, and that intersection by itself is already chaotic and Mortal Kombat on a relatively busy day. So if they build the entrance, will that become a four-way stop, a traffic circle? What are we looking at? Just curious.
So, part of the issue is that people try to do a left-hand turn out of the parking lot, and then that clogs everything until they can't get in and get out. So there's going to be a no left turn. What do they call that in the middle of a road? Median. To extinguish that from the current entrance. At the light, it will be, the city's already reviewed it and approved that it's just going to be, there's going to be, I guess it's three lanes into our park. There's going to be a middle turn lane. There's going to be a turn lane to go east on 13th there. And they have a future plan to go in there and do some other work in the future. And so we're making sure that our project doesn't interfere with that. So I don't know if that – I think the traffic engineer's hope is that the work that we're doing and creating that second entrance will control that flow and make it less chaotic. But yes, when you have that many vehicles exiting at a time at game day, it still will probably be robust.
Yeah. I just see it being chaotic at best. I think right now the problem is a function of the timing of the light, to tell you the truth. But I just don't see much room to build out because right now there's a bunch of campaign signs along there. you know, and so if taking those out would be, that would be good. That's glorious, in fact. But I mean, it's just, yeah, it'll be good. I think we're pushed up against the space like everywhere else. And I think there's only so much you can do, and folks will just have to learn to be more patient. I like it though.
So Rocky, the city has abandoned that running 13th all the way through?
That's my understanding, yes.
Okay, all right. Because I knew that was a big stink for a while.
And I think is it 9th Street? I think the access into the pit behind us, I think there's an access and development that's going to be to the west. So I guess that's 187th. So on the backside of those baseball fields, I think there's going to be a road there, and then it's going to come down to about 9th and come out to 192nd, I believe, is the traffic plan. So there's a little jog around there is the plan. And I know we have a meeting. They're trying to have a meeting with us and the city and all those in regards to that future alignment stuff as Rachi moves forward in their proposed development of their property to our west.
So, I'm sorry, did you say that there is actually already a light coming out of the Atlas complex? I don't remember. I drive by it.
No, there's a light on 13th.
Okay, is there a light on 13th? That's the one that's...
Yes, there's a light on 13th. And what we're doing is T&N at 13th, and that's going to be the main entrance into Harmony. And then our current entrance is just to the north of there. And that'll remain. It's just that there's a median where you can't try to take a left-hand turn.
Right.
And
so when you come out of those, you're not going to be able to turn from left to go north out of there. Is that
the light? 13th of the light will be able to turn left.
13th is the one that will be the next house, right?
Yeah. Yes. And this is the for the PROS plan, the number one used county facility.
I have a hard time
looking at the road. Oh, I know. It's turned and north is at the top of the page.
Okay, thank you.
Any other thoughts, ideas, concerns, sites, plan? Perfect. All right. Nope. We're now to the last agenda item, I think, which would be the Greater Clark Park District Undeveloped Property Prioritization. So this is an informational item. Basically, we wanted to come to you and just start the engagement with our prioritization of future park development, which dovetails into that Curtain Creek conversation earlier as well. So we have 17 undeveloped parks that we've already acquired in land banking within our Greater Clark Park District boundary. Attachment A is that list of those properties. For references, back when the Greater Clark Park District levy was voted in, I think that was in 2005, the county had identified 35 parks that we were going to be developing, and the division is really near doing that. I believe there's only two parcels identified originally that haven't been developed. And we've developed, I think, 36 developed parks after today, or after this cozy camp. So I just want to review our capital plan and our development criterion that we use for assessing this, and turn it over here to my esteemed colleague, David Stein, to kind of walk you through that process, and then we can look at the list of the properties. And if you want us to throw it up onto the screen, we can do that for you, whatever works best for you. All right, David, it's all yours.
So as Rocky mentioned, we have 17 undeveloped park parcels. They're in the list that was provided as Exhibit A in your packet. we will go through an evaluation process and check in with you at appropriate points in that process. We just want to start the conversation today to discuss a little bit about the criteria that we're using. As Rocky mentioned, we've got the six criteria. They're sort of typical criteria for evaluation. One of the things that I've already started is what I would call a regulatory review and an environmental review based on the available information in our GIS system in advance of some of these more user impact and level of service criteria that we're going to evaluate. So we have a needs impact that we're going to be using, and that is what it sounds like. It does the parcel that we're evaluating meet the recreational needs of the service area in which it's found. And then we have a park user impact criteria, which is does it help us accomplish our burgeoning diversity, equity, and inclusion criterion that we're developing in our DEI plan? Does it meet a strategic return on investment? Can we leverage the property? So what that means is, are there elements associated with the site that make it really expensive to develop, like slope, wetlands, those sorts of site challenges that would drive up the cost of development, that drive down that return on investment? Are there opportunities to leverage outside funding partners like the foundation or the state RCO? Is that sort of leverage piece when we evaluate those properties? Obviously, there's the ever-present operational impact. If we develop a park, we have to maintain the park. And so we're always behind the curve a little bit in that area. And stewardship impact. One of the properties that Kevin just mentioned might have some recreational benefits, as he mentioned, at the trailhead. But there's also some benefits to modestly developing that and increasing sort of our maintenance presence there for recreational purposes, because then we can keep an eye on sort of the parts of the property that have stewardship value. So those are the criteria. I don't have any maps today to go through and get started on this conversation with these 17 sites, but I have started to do that sort of mapping analysis project process. Rocky and I are planning on taking a first pass at doing that analysis and presenting those findings with you all and having a conversation about that once we've done sort of our research. We've done all the homework. So I would anticipate that we're going to probably try to get that done by the end of the year. As long as our newest program coordinator shows up to work on the 21st, for duty, we will be greatly enhanced by her presence. She's actually coming to us as an aside from community development. So she's been with the county for over a dozen years as a community planner. So we're gonna inherit a lot of institutional knowledge about sort of the inner workings of the approval and regulatory environment at the county. So we're super excited about that. That's a lot of horsepower for us to add to our planning and development department. So
in our capital plan, we really look at six-year snippets, you know, and so we've got Pleasant Valley, Salmon Creek Community, Neighborhood Park, Cougar Creek Woods, and did I say Pleasant Valley already?
Yes.
There's one more in there I can't think of. Maybe that was Curtin Creek. So we've already got those in our six-year plan today. And what I was hoping to do is, through this process, is we look at prioritizing all of those open properties so we've got an action plan. We'll look at it every year, and we're going to change things based off of that assessment at that time, mainly focus on the next 6 years. But, again, trying to look out forward and give a roadmap for the community of here's how we're going to hope to develop these properties in the future.
Yeah, it's worth noting, while we're developing the 2023 budget, we're adding a column to our six-year CIP out of 2028. And so having a little bit better projection on what order we might develop these sites in helps us do some longer range planning than just next year's budget. And then also in the draft six-year plan that Rocky and I have been working on, you know, we've identified, you know, 1 year we'll do develop a neighborhood park, the next year we'll develop a community park, and in those off years we'll be doing the master planning. So it helps us with staffing projections, it helps us understand what the sort of burn down on the PIF would be, and helps us not lose out on any of those PIF dollars that might expire. So we're trying to get organized.
Good.
Any thoughts on things that we should consider in our criterion assessment of recreational park user impact, operational impact, recreational needs, so that needs impact?
Rocky, when you start laying your map and where these locations are, and you use some GIS software or something, and you overlay, for example, transportation networks, for example, water impacts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. I think we, because we, you know, it's one of our tenets is that we will make sure that some of these parks are more inclusive and accessible by removing barriers, and transportation always seems to be a barrier. Next time we have this conversation and we start putting some meat on the bones and can we look at a map, I want to know is the red line close to one of these parks, you know, and how far is it from our hub, for example? Some of these names sound familiar to me, but I'm not familiar with probably 2/3 of them. And, I would really enjoy seeing those on a map and being able to kind of do that analysis, if you will.
Sure. You can go to the Clark County GIS website, and you can go to the parks page. It's a public mapping site, and you can highlight the parks and add the names to the parks, and you can start looking around for those individual names. That's where I'm going to be building the maps for sort of our first formal presentation to you all. Yeah, and we have a map that Rocky's actually got a map that he's working on with the GIS department that shows where all the undeveloped parcels are. So it's less of a needle in a haystack exercise for you.
No, that's great. That's great. I like that. Got me all excited.
Wonderful.
The exhibiting property is at 22 listed, and you've got 17 on here. So is there some other criteria that these are, or are they something different?
You did the math.
That's okay. So my other question too is that when you're thinking about these parks, are you going to look at where the proximity of other parks are, so that you're putting parks in places that they are not parks close to people?
Yeah, we're looking so in the pros part of that map. I think that's eight we're looking at. Here's the buildable lands work that was fed into that heat map that we created with GIS. And so we're looking at trying to fill those red spots on the heat map as we go up. So that's part of that needs assessment. And to answer your question, a couple of these properties aren't included within the Greater Clark Park District, but they are undeveloped or so like Camp Monteville is something that we have a sort of future planning list, so we add that in there as that. Camp Curry is an existing property that we had in there that has part of it was planned a long time ago to the north of it. So I think those are two properties that are on this list. And so let me cut that basically from the state on this
feed. I was just trying to figure out what the criteria was for the 17 or if this was
the 17 represent the parks that are within the metropolitan park district. And then there are some regional parks in here. When we set out to do sort of a prioritization of what we would develop then, we also have a master planning process, and we know that we have a master plan in Monteville. We may very well have to do a new master plan for Camp Curry based on some access issues that are going on out there. And so it's a working list. we didn't want to get into weeds just yet. No, we've got, I've got all these columns for whether there's weapons on the site, whether there's, you know, what's zoned and
smokes.
Yeah, how smoked it is, because that all plays into that cost of development. And then your question directly goes to that first criteria, which is that weeds impact. Where in the park district is it, and does it, if it meets sort of the highest level of need, an area where we have a lot of need, you know, the sites where we're, the area where we're getting an F grade wise, then it's going to get 5 out of 5 if that's what we're scoring at.
Well, I would think that something like slopes would not fit into the DEI criteria because it's not really.
Some slope sites can be developed as accessible, but then drives up the level of the return on investment. And
it's more of the ROI.
Yeah. And some of the slope sites, you don't have to provide access for some, I can talk about this all night, but we're getting into the sort of interpretation of the American Disabilities Act, and you provide access where feasible, and access doesn't mean actual physically touching something, you can provide viewpoints. Harry Farm is a perfect example. We might not be able to provide access everywhere on the site, but if you can see it, that's a form of access. If you can interpret something from the
community. So I was just kind of thinking in terms of how this playground is going in our Marshall Center, you know, and it's what they call radically.
Yeah, totally inclusive, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I was just wondering how that played into what you're talking about.
Yeah, and that's also sort of part of the master planning process, is we may be able to provide that sort of an experience at one of those sites where we couldn't, sites that are surrounding, and but it's an opportunity for us to direct people looking for that sort of experience to a particular site. And instead of just saying, we don't do that anywhere, they say, you don't do that here, but do it.
So, I'll probably become known as the anti-chip guy. Chips.
Okay.
Engineered wood.
So I believe for inclusivity and access and maintenance well that our playground, we should be looking at open side chips or engineering fibers. Because it costs a lot to put them in, but then when they're not in there, you're maintaining it continuous reef for all the in right for the same thing with trails and people. A lot of jurisdictions do a lot of ships for trails like sheep. They never deal with the sub-based work, and so they are compounding the erosion, patch, and other issues. So those are two of my pet peeves, ships on trails, ships in parking lots. And it drives down our operational costs significantly.
I'll favor spending money on parks and not spending money on the back end.
So, we're working on that too.
Yeah.
We have a facility design guideline project we're working on. So lots of things to talk to the Parks Advisory Board about in the future.
And that's we have one more item I forgot, which is something that we did get some public comment on earlier. So as I log into my computer that locks me out. So a bit ago this year, we had a counselor who had a request from a disabled veteran on why we didn't have a disabled veteran program in Clark County. And so we were approached to see how that could fit and what would it take to get that done. And so in reviewing that process, we identified that and part of this is something I did in a different jurisdiction is we like to piggyback off of the state. So the state has a program. They spend their administrative time identifying if someone is eligible for the state parks lifetime disabled veteran pass. And for us to provide a similar free parking opportunity, it's just a matter of them only have to deal with one set of bureaucrats, not two, in order to get the passes. And so the request was a review by y'all to determine if you supported this county code change for fee exemption for disabled veterans. They would have to present it when they came to a park that required parking fee, and then have it displayed while they're parking in the park. Otherwise, we would not know whether or not they had it, and they might get a ticket. We have 32,000 and some change veterans, according to the census data I have here in Clark County. So that's, don't do the math, but that's less than 10%. 52,000 would be 10%, right? Right? Yeah, sounds right. So that's 8% or so in here. The fiscal impact has been assessed to be fairly small or minimal for allowing this, and it would provide that not only that gesture to those who have served, but also with those who are disabled, there are, you know, it's a financial impediment sometimes. So any questions or comments on this? And I would like comments.
I support it. I don't see that's not a much of a financial burden, and we should support it.
I agree.
Yeah, I'll support it. Not much of a financial impact, and the benefits far outweigh the cost.
All right. Well, we will communicate that on to the council, and I have a chair, vice chair, would you like to seek get public input at this time?
He's on mute.
You're on mute, sir.
Sorry. Does anyone else have anything to say or want to speak?
We do have a raised hand by Ms. Allen.
Okay. Oh, Malala, please.
We'll try to unmute her here in a second.
There she is.
You're going to have to type your comments in. I don't think we can unmute. So can you type in your comments, ma'am? And can you push the little speaker button? We are on.
Dr. Allen?
Fortunately, our technology only allows us to, doesn't allow us to reconnect with you. So if you could type that in. We will accept any public comment via email if we cannot get the communication accomplished tonight.
No, she's holding me down.
There we go. Almost.
Yeah. Am I unmuted now?
Yes, finally. Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for considering that, because as I said in my first comments, this is a long-awaited recognition of what our veterans have done for us, as well as realizing that they are part of our vulnerable population, and we are all about equity and inclusion. And so this is great. Thank you so much for showing support for it.
Thank you.
Mr. Castle, you got a question?
Yeah, on the 17 or 22 property plan, potential plan, is this what's the year that you're considering this? Is this just a one or fewer future plan?
That one.
It's a 36
year plan. right now, the way I have it scheduled from a budget and staffing perspective is we would after planning project in 1 year, build it in the next. And while we're building that project, we'd be back to planning a neighborhood park, and then next year we would be building that neighborhood park. While we're building that neighborhood park, we would be master planning community. So we're doing master plan 1 year. We're doing a
Or get your plan in the car. That's
so you can only do like one part a year.
Oh my gosh, if you did one of that, we've got three going right now with this vacancy. And with the vacancies that we have in engineering and construction and our construction managers.
I'm asking you to regret this Whipple Creek. It is a lid from this list. It doesn't mean that it's not going to enter down the road. I know on the first line, I did have some money that was dispersed on.
So while Whipple Creek would be a major maintenance or a development, it is considered developed today.
Yeah,
so that's why it's on the point. These are repair grounds that have nothing on today. And we would be looking for a regular development review process for the addition enhancements.
You think they took away your life?
Was there criteria consideration for, where a park is? Because Whipple Creek is actually probably more developed than its actual specified 1.4 acres developed versus this, the 300 acres of the volunteer workers have.
That's mostly like capital, as Robin mentioned. I think that there's just money in the major maintenance budget out in a couple of years to do some significant improvements.
It doesn't really fall in this category because these are ones that are
just looking at undeveloped problems.
Yeah. Like that.
Now we have in our capital planning, we're planning for preventive maintenance, trying to, paint some roofs or things, trying to maintain what we have, fog seals on existing parking lots, kind of extend the useful life of existing. We have major maintenance, which is replacing some existing assets. So that's a new platform, an existing parking lot, those sort of elements. And we're seeing at the brand where we're getting more and more preferred maintenance, making targets speed. So, while we're mainly looking at building one new apartment here, we have major maintenance, preventive maintenance, we have these other projects that we'll be doing in addition to that one project in the process.
And enhancing existing assets.
Yeah.
Doing that in the garden.
So, right. Yeah, so we've identified through just some initial conversations ADA improvements at certain parks that need to be made. Hazeldale is a good example close by. There's no ADA parking in the park. Orchards is another park that we're going to do some development improvements to from an access perspective. What we're currently doing is going through an updating the inventory of all of our park facilities, and then we'll do an evaluation of those park facilities, and then that'll help us prioritize our major maintenance dollars and our preventative maintenance dollars. So it's not a squeaky wheel exercise, and it's not a shotgun exercise. You want to be a little bit more strategic with the dollars and the resources that we have. And there's a number of strategies to that. Make sure that we're doing it throughout the community. Make sure that we're doing it in the places where the need is the greatest, or where the maintenance has been the most lax. As you can imagine, it's
I think the careers where the work. That clarification, my shareholder, stakeholder, the people I represent, this is not, if it doesn't fall in this category, that was my point.
It doesn't fall on that.
It's entirely different.
Yeah.
And so I think that's where it's coming from. So
yeah, we have $88. One of the things that we're seeing is a lot of people asking for pickleball courts. We don't have pickleball courts on any of our master plans. And so how are we going to fund that? We do it.
We're including it at Cozy Camp. Cozy Camp and at Sugar Creek.
No.
At Sugar Creek we are. It is an example of the design there as well. And Cozy Camp is only going to be trying to shoehorn something in, but that wasn't going to require a land use change to take some of the ways to expand some lines and basketball court to have a.
We currently don't have any sort of a master plan revision process which we're working on. So if we get a call from somebody who wants to add a bunch of pickleball courts to Pacific Park, we don't have a process to revise that plan. Even though that plan is really old, there were stakeholders involved in that public process. There are neighbors. We don't want to just start adding, competing recreation uses or incompatible recreation uses to neighbors. There's been a lot of litigation, unbelievably nationwide, over neighbors being disturbed by pickleball. It's not like pickleball, but it's noisier than tennis. The city of Bellevue won't even build a pickleball court if it's in the neighborhood. They've gotten that side.
So, did you say something about your deferred maintenance is actually starting to catch up, or you're calling
further
to find out? I didn't catch what you said there.
It is increasing.
Deferred maintenance is?
For a couple reasons. So, we've had a great 15, 20 years of developing new parks. But what happened that 15, 20 years, you're starting to see? So, all of our visitor could be parks are now starting to fail. We're starting to see that where they're.
We don't have a budget for it, or do you actually have
a
budget for it?
We're still figuring that out. So we don't have the thing we don't have is we don't have that complete report to say we have $47 million or $7 million budget for maintenance. So we need that. We have money in the bank, so to speak, for some of those functions. So there is money to spend. My experience is there's never enough money to do everything, but I think I feel better than a lot of jurisdictions in the current our capacity. Our REACH2 funding is not a partial only fund, it's not a reputation and other things that go after. They changed the rules on that, where we throw sort of an allocation for, so now it's more what we call like a grant program where we ask them what we need for allocating it. So there's those things. Our PIF funds, which wouldn't deal with deferred maintenance, that's about expanding access. We have some areas where we have sufficient funds, but if you look at Curtain Creek, where a project that was $6.5 million yesterday is now $9.5 million. Those all those things really start to hamstring us in regards to trying to get that future need with those funds. And make those decisions. We spend those money and not worry about concurrency tomorrow, and then figure out how to fund that other stuff later. So anyway, that's why we're paying this work.
They're trying to, between 22 and 23, if memory serves me, the draft 23, the major maintenance budget is double. So we're going from 900,000 to almost 2 million in major maintenance projects. And then year over year, we're increasing it 10%, but that's not even going to keep up with inflation. And so, once we understand the true deferred maintenance number, at Oregon State Park, we knew that it was $120 million deferred maintenance number because we did the homework. And that's what we're in the process of doing here, trying to understand what the true deferred maintenance number is.
And that lets us come back to you, Park Advisory Board, to then say, here's where we're at, our finance people, here's where we run out of money, so to speak, based on this plan, and here's our options, for PIF or REIT or maybe there are tools to turn up and turn down those funding streams that require process and approvals and votes and those sort of things. That's all that we can. We'd be able to tell our story and have that homework done, be able to say, hey, we're doing pretty much darn good. We're not what we want, people are good, or oh my gosh, I see the tsunami coming of deferred maintenance and it's trying to get ahead.
So Jim, I think I can turn it back to you and you can do a bit of the order call.
I will do that. Wow, for a non-meeting, we get through it in almost meeting time. Anybody, Teresa or Don, do you have anything to say? Any for the good of the order?
Nope.
Okay. I guess we're adjourned then.
Thank you, everybody.
Thank you. Thank
you for being here. We'll try it again next month.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.
Cheers.
Bye.